4.
Item number 4 from the Chief Judge, submitting an informational report on the status of universal screening program implementation. This item will also come before the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit. The item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
And we welcome back Chief Judge Kremers.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. With me is Holly Shablowski from the Courts Operation Pretrial Services Organizational Unit. This, I think, is a much less contentious item than the previous one. We have presented to you, as required in the budget, an informational report on the status of universal screening. It's a rather lengthy report with a lot of numbers in it. I can tell you, short version, that it's going very well. As you heard from Inspector Schmidt, we do agree on some things, and this is one of them, that it has changed the face of the people in our jail, at least in the pretrial population, and we want to continue to do that so that we're housing the people in the jail who scare us, not the ones we're just a little bit mad at or frustrated with. And so we're trying to make decisions based on the risk that they pose to the community and the public safety rather than the name of the charge or how much money they have in their pocket or their family has in their pocket. And we're off to, I think, a very good start, as you'll see in the, as you can see in the data, and we're happy to answer any questions either today or as you process the report. If you have a desire for more information or want to see see it in operation, we're happy to meet with you, set up a tour, show you what we're doing, provide you with more information, whatever your pleasure is.
And Ms. Shabalski, first of all, I know that your name is pretty much the author of this lengthy report, and it is incredibly thorough. Did you want to just share any highlights at all from that?
I think the biggest highlight, I'll just say this, the program became fully operational January 17th. Our contract vendor is currently Justice 2000, successfully hired and trained and really got the program up and running with the cooperation of the Office of the Sheriff and their line staff on a day-to-day basis. There's 21 people employed in the program working three shifts, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Our numbers so far, there are some early indicators that the program is having the impact that we would hope it would have, and those are outlined primarily, I won't go through them in detail, on page 7 of the report. But I think progress is good. The numbers are good. We are hitting about 90% of the people coming in the door that are in the target population. We do have some folks who decline to participate. You cannot force someone to go through this process. But even despite those that decline, we're hitting about 90% of the people that we intend to screen. It is having a tremendous impact on the number of people being released to pretrial supervision. In late 2011, we had about 350 people on supervision. On any given day, we're up at about 900. So it is having some impacts in other areas. We are having to shift some resources into the supervision, but so far we've been able to make some of those shifts and manage that population, I think, effectively. The next step is really, I think, solidifying the data collection and analysis piece going forward. There's really two things we have to look at. One is the numbers of the folks coming in the jail and their average length of stay, the average daily pretrial population. What do they look like? That's the IMSD CGIS-based data. And then there's the data that we're collecting on folks as we screen them, and there's a wealth of it. I mean, we're identifying risk category, conditions that are necessary. So we know more about the people walking in the door of the jail today than we have in my 25 years of working in the system here. So,
thank you, Shabalski. Committee member, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move to receive and place on file this item.
And if we could just hold off on that for a moment, Supervisor. I've got a couple, actually four members from the audience that have filled out a card for this item. Sister Rose, I don't know if you'd...
That's okay.
Okay. And Mr. Knuzny, did I pronounce that right? Did you want to say anything?
Yes,
okay, why don't you come on up then, please. And then we've got Saccone and Bill... Ita, and you filled out cards, so if you'd like to come up and say a few words, you're more than welcome. Mr. Knuzny.
It's Knuzny.
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 There we go.
Burkowski.
If it was the original Polish, it might be easier, but it got changed from I-E-C-Z-N-I spell A.
Was that on the boat? We might have been on the same boat.
I don't know. Before my time. But if they were going to change it, they could have changed it to something people could spell and pronounce. I'm here for informational purposes. I work for the Legal Aid Society, and I'm also the one of the class attorneys in the Christensen case. It's been in place since 2001. It started in 1996. I do want to mention that I spoke with, asked the permission of the Corporation Counsel to make comments today because we are involved. Our county is a defendant in the Christensen lawsuit, and she's your attorney. So I try to always preserve that formality. I wasn't sure what was going to come up in terms of universal screening and in relation to other issues, but I just wanted to make a brief comment that, similar to what Ms. McNally said, that things have been happening because of the Community Justice Council that we've been waiting for since I was involved in the first jail case involving the safety building jail. That case, and then there was a new jail built. We lived with 459 capacity cap under the old jail federal court action. And then we built a new 800-person jail that we proceeded to overcrowd by 100 average daily population each year until a Christensen case was filed when you were holding about 1,300 people at the jail, high of, I think, 1,600 at some point. The idea of cooperating and doing universal screening was something that has been the state of the art. We were way behind the curve in getting it started. And the council, some of the work that's been done to getting grants and working together, for the most part, has been exceptional. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of good things happening, and that bodes well. The other negative part of this is that that it's incredibly important that it stay in place, but also that you realize that there's costs beyond these issues of days, of how much it costs to guard people. We've had 10 deaths in the jail in the last 3 years, and there's been a medical crisis really since they lost a stable medical director at the end of 2010. There was in December, right on Christmas 2010, there was suicide by jumping from the upper tier. January 23rd, just less than a month later, psychotic disorder, death, psychotic disorder, hunger strike, refusal to eat, and then February 1st of 2011, suicide by hanging. Those are costs. Nothing good happens in jail. What you want to do is keep everybody out that you can. And that's, so I think that's just underscores, in addition to just the value of keeping jobs, of maintaining family relationships, not having child welfare issues started up while somebody's incarcerated. There should be a priority to jail as few people as possible and make high-quality decisions using evidence-based practices. Also here for informational purposes, maybe on the other item in terms of what I described as a medical crisis, it's been in the state of affairs since early 2011, around the time of these suicides. There's no medical director, no chief psychiatrist, considerable turnover, and I think a lot of things that are very much of a concern at this point. And if the committee had any questions about the status of the Christensen consent decree, our strong interest in having it end at some point in the foreseeable future, or anything else, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Signed up for both.
You
so
did, and
you can ask me to come back if you'd like.
Yeah, I guess
not.
I was a little stunned by the suicide number, and I guess you can clarify that in the next item. I heard
universal screening. It'd be useful to look at some of these people and who really needed to be in there, as opposed to in psychiatric treatment or something else other than your jail. So that was a connection there. I'm sorry if it wasn't clear.
Okay. Real man. All right. Comments on item number four, Supervisor Sanfilippo, please.
Just a question, actually, for Ms. Shavlesky. I tried to get your attention before, but you didn't see me. The report actually was good, and I was one that was very skeptical of this program at first, you know, especially during the last budget go-around. And I was encouraged by the report. It actually looked like the program had made a lot of progress since the reports we had gotten at budget time. But my question is, and part of my concern is to make sure that we're not actually, you know, putting people on supervision that actually shouldn't be there and should be in, you know, in the House of Correction or the jail. And I didn't see the report address anything as far as how are we monitoring that, you know, once they're on supervision to make sure, you know, are they committing any crimes while they're on supervision that they wouldn't have committed if they were in the jail? And what process is being done to monitor that to make sure that we're not releasing people that we shouldn't be? Because to me, that's the true benchmark, is to say that, you know, yes, we're, you know, we may have 900 people out on supervision as opposed to 300 before, but we want to make sure that we're, you know, the public is no less safe with those 900 out than before. And that's the what I think everybody is concerned about.
I would like to address that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I will say, first of all, the model for this project was Mecklenburg, Charlotte, North Carolina, where they instituted this kind of a program and were able to close an annex, scrap plans for a new jail, empty an annex, reduce the population in their main jail, and their crime rate went up not 1%. That's our overriding issue here, is that we, in effect, do no harm, that we don't do anything that implicates in a negative way public safety. In fact, we want to enhance public safety. So we are very mindful of those concerns, Supervisor Sanfilippo, and we have taken steps, and we have a variety of supervision-type programs depending on the risk posed and the needs of the individual. So the most frequently, someone charged with OWI, they're going to be in our OWI monitoring program. Or if they have mental health concerns, they're in our pretrial monitoring program. The level of supervision, the frequency with which they meet with our supervising agents, the frequency with which they are tested for the presence of drugs or alcohol are all determined by the needs and risks that were identified in their assessment that was conducted as part of the universal screening. And on top of that, we are also have brought in another tool to that so that we can, in conjunction with the district attorney's office and the public defender's office, more quickly identify people who are appropriate for consideration of a diversion program, so they're out of the system altogether because they're really low risk, or they're a good target for a deferred prosecution agreement because they're low to moderate risk, and we can get that process started right away. So we are monitoring these people very closely. We are measuring, as part of the data collection, how people are doing, so that we will, in the very near future, have an initial report, and certainly by budget season, have a more thorough report as to how these folks are doing, the increased numbers that are on pretrial supervision, how they're doing on supervision in two critical areas. One, their return to court for their court appearances, because that's the primary issue with respect to bail, is their likelihood of returning to court. And two, which is more important to the public, frankly, than the first one, which is, are they committing any new offenses while they're out on bail? So we are will be and are monitoring that, and we will have data to more specifically answer your question.
Thank you.
Okay. We also have Saccone and Bill Eta. If either one of you would like to speak. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Bill Eta, representing MICA.
Yes, Bill.
I'll be very brief. We have been for a long time in favor of a universal screening program. We are very happy to hear that it appears to be going very well, that more people are qualifying not to be incarcerated pretrial. It's better for those individuals, gives them an opportunity, if they have alcohol, drug, mental health issues, to get treatment, and therefore possibly not reoffend after their case has been judged. So better for the people, better for all of us, we're safer. So I'm strongly in favor of what's going on with that program. I think I'll leave it at that for now.
Thank you, Mr. Utah. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this simply underscores what a relatively modest investment of public dollars can result in terms of public good. And when we have the opportunity and when we have enough data in to measure the long-term savings, my guess is they're going to be significant. And I think this, as an example, should perhaps make us a little more willing to invest in other programs that on the surface may, you know, and particularly where they've been tried elsewhere and been successful, hopefully we'll take on a different attitude than we have. This is about fiscal sobriety, and the results of this, I think, are going to be very, very positive, and I'm so happy that we chose to move in this direction.
Thank you, Supervisor. This is an informational item. If not, if there's no further action, then I will.
Chairman, again, I move to receive and place on file.
Supervisor Johnson moves to receive and place on file, item number four. Then, Madam Clerk, please call a roll on receive and place on file.
Supervisors Harris.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weisham.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Six ayes, zero noes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Madam Clerk, item number five, please.